You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
From the Podcast Detroit studios and Zoom everywhere else, the making of champions. Professional boxers inspiring amateur athletes to become champions. Presented by Joe Lewis, champion of them all, bourbon and bigger than life entertainment. In association with USA Boxing, Golden Gloves of America, the producers of MAC Boxing, Making a Champion Series, and BigFightWeekend.com. Join your hosts, Tanya Cole and Marquise Johns, with special guests from around the world of amateur and pro boxing, celebrating the legacy of Joe Lewis, whose status as the first African-American national hero showed the importance of being a leader and a role model inside and outside of the ring.
All right, Marquise, Tanya, take it away.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. I'm Tanya Cole, and with me is my podcast co-host and senior writer and editor for Big Fight Weekend, Marquise Johns. Marquise, what do you got with us today?
Tanya, how you doing? Thanks for having me on, as always. And tonight we have a special guest here coming out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, currently undefeated 1-0. David Perez is joining us this week. David, how's it going?
Unmute yourself, Dave. We want to hear you.
I got you. You're unmuted now.
Cool, cool. Hello, guys. My name is Dave Perez. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. So, Marquise, you've been doing a little bit of research on David. You know, David is pretty impressive. I had a chance to watch some videos of him. And they also kind of call you King David.
Yeah.
We're going to show you a little bit of video of why that might be the case. Jamie, can you help us out?
Ladies and gentlemen, no live streaming is allowed. Again, no live streaming during our event. You will be asked to leave.
That was David's first fight in his pro debut against Gabriel Taku, which he won in a four-round unanimous decision. Walk me back to that, because the clip didn't show this, but I want to catch this as well, because you caught him, David, with an overhand right twice. Once it was ruled a slip, I mean, you caught him. So walk back to your pro debut. How'd you feel about it?
You know what? I felt really great about it. I really enjoyed it. It was like just another feeling, especially just coming out, like the atmosphere, having everyone out there, like, it had me a little bit, you know, a little nervous, but not to fight, just for the people there, because it's a big crowd. But I felt great. I felt like, you know, I started off trying to figure him out the first round. As the rounds picked up, I started getting his timing better, and I just started seeing more places for that right hand. And like I said, the second time I dropped him, it was just like his game over, you know. I really tried getting him out of there. The guy was real strong. So, you know, I just think he had a good chin, and he was, you know, as soon as most people, whenever they fall, you know, they get back up, and it's just like, they're not even trying to win anymore. But this guy was game the whole fight.
I noticed that too, because one thing I realized in the fight as well, and you can saw that in the video as well, he kept pressing the action regardless if he was landing or not. And it was kind of, he did this herky-jerky thing where it was kind of awkward. So I saw he was trying to time him up a little bit. I saw you pick him up in the second or third round. One thing I noticed just from him, just in general, and if you got any report of him beforehand, was there anything that he saw in between that second and third round that you made the adjustment for? Because the one thing I saw that he was doing, and I think you may have noticed this too, when he would come in and then he would kind of lunge. I think at one point near the end of the fight, he threw like this weird bar haymaker. I think that even you grinned at it at the video caught, which I think at that point, I think he realized that, yeah, this isn't going to work out. But was there anything that he did out of the ordinary that you haven't seen before?
Out of the ordinary, no, not that I haven't seen. It's just like you said, he was very herky-jerky. He was kind of threw a lot of wild punches. So, like, whenever he threw that punch, I believe in the fourth round, man, when he cocked it back, I was like, this guy's not going to land it. Like, I just knew it. Like, all I had to do was back. He literally, like, he looked like a soaring eagle just coming out with his wing, you know. It was just too obvious. Like, I tell people all the time, I'm like, you're going to hit somebody, you got to come straight out. You know, if you wing it, it's too much time to be able to tell what you're going to throw. But, nah, other than that, I feel like just those wide punches, he really gave me tells. I was really able to see what he was doing, and he was falling for everything. If I threw feints, he would react. So that's what really helped me do a lot, is being able to getting him to react and then set the trap.
You know what, David? One thing I noticed about you is that you're known as being very quick and accurate. And so by the end of that match, Gabriel had a quite different look on his face. He was kind of stammering. He was about to fall over right at the decision point. So you certainly worked him over. Tell us a little bit about your training at the engine room. I know you work out of there with Coach Aaron Sloan. Tell us about that.
Yes, okay. So so training's pretty pretty intense. I'm really, you know, glad to have Aaron, you know, as my coach, and my other coach, Danny Skipper. They both work on me very well. So a lot of the times, like preparing for that fight, it was a lot of just hard strength and conditioning. You know, whenever we were working like on the bags or the mitts, we were just focusing on power, because the one thing we knew about this guy was he had an amateur background. From the videos that we got to see of him, he looked very rough, very rugged. You know, he didn't look very polished. So he just looked like he was a game fighter to come and fight. So we definitely knew that he was going to not try to box me. He was going to try to rough me up a bit. So that's why I started off slow, trying to, you know, pick him apart, show my boxing skills. But if I knew when the time came, and let's say he got me, you know, squared up, or if he wanted to bang it out, you know, I'd be there to be able to give him that pop. Because, you know, like you said, that expression he had at first, he didn't respect me yet. But once he felt my power, that's whenever his whole, you know, his whole game plan changed, because everyone saw the look on him. He was very aggressive and never stopped coming. But I just think once he felt me, he was like, oh, I gotta second think the way I come in now, you know?
Well, we definitely noticed that. Okay. And so adding on to your training there, you talked about the bags there. Tell us more about the heavy bag training. I know you talked a lot about that with your, I think your partnership. You have a partnership with the company now, don't you? Aren't you the ambassador for Sting Sports?
Yeah, it's actually cool.
Okay, so tell us about that.
I'm ambassador for Sting Sports. So I'm very, very fortunate to actually be able to represent such a great brand. I was actually trying out the gloves for the first time, I'll say, I think a couple years back. And I love them, because back whenever I first started boxing, the gloves that I used to use, I felt like the wrist was always very loose in the thumb. Mm-hmm. Which kind of like whenever you see a boxing glove, you know, you see the thumb kind of parted away from the rest of the hand. So yes, what I really liked about Sting gloves, when I finally started using them, they had an extra strap. It was a double strap for wrist protection, and then everything just felt so hand tight. There wasn't room for your hand to move around. So definitely the most comfortable glove I use, or I have used. So it's very cool that I get to represent them. On top of that, I mean, especially at the professional level, you know, so I really, really enjoy working with them.
That's awesome, David. And actually, let me piggyback off that, because some people don't understand the importance of it is with boxing equipment, especially when you mention gloves, where I know if you just put your hand in any old glove, like I tell everyone, it's kind of like a bowling ball, where you have a bowling ball where you put your thumb in. And if your thumb doesn't fit right in that bowling ball, like the ones at the alley, like it feels weird, it's strange. And just to piggyback off that, and explain to me how these gloves are going to help you out, and just as you move along professionally, as opposed to the ones you're using before, just, you know, the standard, you know, just the Everlast that are hanging around, or, you know, someone's hand-me-downs.
Yeah, so for sure, the way this glove is probably going to benefit me is, for one, it's a big mental aspect that it adds on to me, because me knowing that my hand is well protected, I'm able to let them loose without any questions, whether am I going to tweak it, you know. Even at a professional like myself, you know, there's times where you might throw a punch that's not thrown exactly a certain way. So you might tweak a nerve if your glove is loose, or if, you know, you throw something and you just barely clip it, you know, just those little things really matter. So if I'm very confident in what I'm using, I'm able to throw stuff without even second thinking, you know? So definitely confidence is what it brings to me.
Well, it sounds like, David, that Aaron has put a lot of considerations to the health and safety of the fighters there in the engine room. I know this has been his 7-year-old brainchild. You guys have just moved into that new space, and it's fully equipped with Sting Sports gear in there. And he's also a cardiac nurse. What other provisions does Aaron have there along with Danny at the gym?
You know, we actually have another professional here, a local from Tulsa, that's made it pretty far. His name is Alan Sweetness Green. He was pretty well-known, and it's very cool having him as an asset here at the gym, you know, giving me tips as far as experience, you know. He's actually one of the guys that was in my corner at the fights. So it was very very good to know that I just had a guy with a lot of experience. He's been there, done that. So it just gives me a lot of confidence and, you know, some knowledge behind certain things as to why I do this, why I should do that. But I really, really am enjoying here at the gym because it's such a great atmosphere. Just it has that old school feel because, you know, it's all the brick is shown downstairs. And it's just it's really cool because we have everything that I didn't have when I very first started boxing. When I first started boxing, the boxing gym was like a little garage. All you had was heavy bags. We probably had one speed bag, and it wasn't very well. Like, it wasn't very good. So working here, definitely really cool because I have the best equipment. I have people that believe in me. Just like a good team behind you really helps you motivate, you know, towards all these fights. So I'm really glad to have the team that I have.
Yeah, with the team that you have there, David, you mentioned the gyms, and I think people forget to mention this as well. Like, most folks is just, you know, have just standard equipment, just like a bag or just maybe a treadmill from, you know, that's been hanging around a little bit. Because, like, give you an example, like here in Tampa, the big historic place here is St. Pete Boxing Club, where Keith Furman, Edna Cheryl, all of them train down here. But it's literally no bigger than a local garage with the popcorn ceiling. There's holes in the roof. I mean, it's a very old school rustic feel. It's a great feeling. But the key with that as well is that they're surrounded by people who have been there before. And you mentioned Alan Green, who is a trained professional who has been fighting for a while, actually. That's a common name, actually, with common opponents, actually. I think is he still training at lightweight over in your gym, David?
No, he's actually still in the gym. He's you know, he trains probably in here about twice a day. Yeah, he still stays in the gym. So like I said, he's always been like a big brother to me. He passes down a lot of knowledge to me, gives me little tips, you know, on things that I'm unsure about. Because, you know, going into my first professional fight, having a guy like him that's done it over 30 times, you know, it's very very motivating knowing that I'm alongside with somebody that's been there, done that. So when I get there, you know, it's only going to get even better.
Absolutely. Now, I understand that you've got the ring there and you've got your team and your coaches working with you. But not only do you have the one ring that you're working out of, there's two other rings, a yoga studio, and then you've got the Ready to Fight Parkinson's area there. Do you know anything about that program? If so, can you tell us about it?
Yes, I do. I actually helped out quite a bit with the Parkinson's program. So it's we have its own building where it's air conditioned.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pretty cool. We have their own ring in there as well. And it's just as far as like the program goes, you know, it's a lot of movements that we make them do in order for them to try to simulate certain actions or their mobility really is what we work on. Because a lot of them, you know, I was first time when I came to this gym, I didn't know anything about Parkinson's. I've always heard about it, but I have no clue what it was. And I started to realize that it was, you know, it was something like their brain was wanting to do something, but their body wouldn't react the same way or do as their brain told them. So it's pretty cool working with them because you see the progress with this program. I've seen people that could hardly stand up, go to walking and being able to throw punches. And then there's a guy that throws it up in here. This guy I believe he used to be in the Marines, and he has Parkinson's. But, man, this guy gets down and gives you 50 push-ups like it's nothing. Like, you probably wouldn't even be able to notice he has Parkinson's because he's been doing the program so long. I just love seeing like the progress in these people because they come to us not being able to do an everyday average person, you know, motion or activity, and then they're throwing punches like it's nothing. So it's very, very cool knowing that I'm, you know, helping out with this program and it's making a great impact in their lives.
You are. And how many boxers do you have in that program?
Yeah.
In that program, if I was to round up a good guess, I would say probably a good 25, 30 people.
That's impressive. I noticed that not only do you work with that program, you also work with the youth.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about working with that? Because I know you're one of the coaches. Is that right?
I'm one of the coaches here. So I work here full time for Aaron. And I actually enjoy training people, especially the kids, because one, I see myself. I see when I started, you know. So I love being able to help them. You know, a lot of these kids might have the same interests as me, might not. But either way, just showing them how to defend themselves the proper way is always good because it builds a lot of confidence in these kids. You know, if some of these kids, they show up and they're shy or they don't do well speaking with others. But, like, whenever I train them, you get a whole other side of them. It's just like they come from home and they get in the gym. And for the kids that want to try and put the effort in, you know, I feel like they really get what they like from it. Because a lot of these kids couldn't believe the things they're doing now. The combinations they're throwing, learning how to spar, just throwing punches, right? Like, it's very cool to see when they first come in the very first day, the way they throw their punches. Because I didn't know how to throw a punch the very first time. I knew, you know, being a kid, you know, you'd be out here in the streets, whatever, thinking you know how to fight. No, yeah. You're very mistaken. So it's a very great feeling knowing that I'm contributing to their, you know, skills and just part of their life. You know, they call me coach and I'm like, man, I'm a young guy myself and it's hard to get used to that. Them calling me coach. I got older people that call me coach and it's just like, it was really cool, but very weird at first. I'm not going to lie. But now, you know, I got the hang of it and used to it. So they have a lot of love and respect for me as I do for them. So I very much enjoy it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marquise.
Yeah, that's good to hear, David. Actually, I want to piggyback off the coaching aspect because I think some folks also really don't understand how much work in terms when just in boxing in general, just like, you know, if they learn how to throw a punch, how much work and time it takes to get in. You know, you see a couple of videos on YouTube and think, you know, world star, you're like, well, I can do that. But then you get to a gym like where you're training, David, and you just see it's a whole different animal. Tell me on your end, because from a coaching aspect, what was the, just in general, without naming names or anything, what was the one crowding achievement you are coaching a kid that you've gotten so far that you progress wise have you seen that has impressed you?
Honestly, probably turning the kid around from not being able to keep his feet on the ground, because a lot of these people, the trickiest part about boxing that I feel and a lot of other coaches would probably agree is the footwork.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people can throw punches, but if your feet aren't right, you're going to throw yourself off balance. Your punches aren't going to be how you want them placed. It's just footwork is probably the first thing that I would recommend teaching someone because it's the trickiest part. Even for myself, it was. So whenever I was helping this kid that couldn't keep his feet up under to going from working on the bags, drilling him all the time, and then sparring and not falling over his feet was probably like one of the sweetest things because he had a more centered base. He was able to just throw his punches off. You know, the kid got hit, but the thing is, he was able to take a punch and throw one back because, you know, whenever they first come, everyone's, oh, no, you know, they're like, oh, I'm scared to get hit or they don't know. There's a lot of people you see whenever they're sparring for the first time, you can tell it's the first time because they flinch or look down or look away every time a punch is coming their way. So mm-hmm. It's really cool just seeing how they get more comfortable with just the whole aspect of getting punched in the face. You know, I tell people there's nothing that's going to simulate the fact that you're supposed to get hit in the face. You cannot play no video game. You cannot do nothing to make you literally feel that feeling. Like, you're going to go in there, you either take it or you don't. That's how I see it. Like, there's nothing else that's going to show you what boxing's about than getting in there and getting hit in the face. Either you can take it or you can't, you know?
Yeah.
I hear you. More from David Perez in a few seconds. Now a word from our sponsor. Thank you, Jamie. And just as a note, and just so that you know too, David, $1 from every bottle sold of Joe Louis bourbon goes to youth programs.
Really?
Yeah, it does. Cool. It does. It does. So we hope some money's coming your way. I wanted to kind of segue from your work with the youth and go into something that you said. This is a quote from social media. You said, "When you are what you say you are, you've never got to say who you are. People will say it for you." What do you think people are saying about you?
What do I think people are saying about me? I think a lot of people are saying that they're proud to see what I'm accomplishing, that I've came a long way and that I put the work in, because that's something that I really take a lot of pride in, is the fact that I'm dedicated and I work hard. You know, I used to always wait on, a lot of kids or just people in general, whenever they're getting ready for something, now, coach does this, coach has to do this, coach needs to tell me to do this. In reality, you know, having a great team there is always a plus and it helps a lot, but you're the fighter. You're the one that's going to step in the ring. You're the one that's going to take the punches. So, like I tell everyone, if you're going to be person you want to be, you got to put the work in. You can't just talk about it. You got to act on it. You got to make something happen, because ain't nobody else going to be in here taking the punches that I'm going to take. Ain't nobody's going to be in here throwing the punches that I'm going to throw. So I literally carry that in my mindset every single day. If I don't feel like I did enough, it's not a good feeling. I'll constantly feel like I need to do more. So like when people say, you know, they're this, they're that, I ignore a lot of that, because at the end of the day, I don't care what people say. I don't care what I say. I'm going to show you, you know, I'm not just going to tell you. So that's why I really know people are talking about my work ethic, because they see me work hard. And that's something no one can say, you know, besides my coaches, that they see the work I put in. You know, a lot of people don't see what really goes on behind. They just see me winning. They see me at the fights, or, oh, he looked great, this and that. But all the work that I put in to look that way is something people aren't going to understand. Waking up 6 a.m., having a run. Running? Whoa, let me tell you this. Least everything to do for anybody. But me, I'm a competitor. So if you tell me, oh, you're going to run with this guy and this guy, you best believe I'm going to book it. I'm going to get it, because I don't like to lose. I do not like to lose. And if you hate to lose, it's way, 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 way better than loving to win. Because if you hate to lose, right, there's nothing that's going to stop you from winning.
Well, you've got the youth looking up to you. You've got those in your boxing gym looking up to you. You've got your community looking up to you. I read a piece in La Semana article, and they talked about the family members, the community members that all bought tickets to go see you fight back in March.
Yeah,
and just the outpouring of support is there for you. So not only what people are saying about you, what does it mean to be a champion? Because whether you win or lose, there are lots of others out there that are looking at you in high regard. So what does it mean to be a champion?
It means a lot, actually. It's such a proud feeling, because I know that a lot of people look up to me, and a lot of people are very glad to see me doing good. To be a champion really means setting another standard, not just for others, but for yourself. Because if you don't, you know, bring it out in yourself, no one else is going to do it. If you don't want it, no one else is going to want it for you. So I truly just believe that you got to have discipline, be dedicated, and just work hard. Being a champion is everything to me, because everyone around me, family, friends, people from the gym, they look up to me. And if I'm not doing my part, then what are they gonna, what example are they gonna have to look up to? Oh, they tell me, oh, how do you move like this? How do you move like that? And, you know, I could show them. They're not always gonna understand it, because the experience of going through all this, the journey of going through it all, is really what makes you the fighter you are. So what I tell everybody, I'm like, don't rush it. You're not gonna learn how to do these things in a week, in a month. You know, it took me years. So it's something that I tell people, don't get discouraged if you can't do something yet. I was like, you keep trying and you will.
Speaking of the dedication and for it, I know that you had your fight originally scheduled actually nearby, but they pushed it back to November. So you mentioned the training and the work that you put in. What are you going to do in the meantime, in the downtime of all this? Because I think your fight is scheduled now back to November 13th. Two part question, actually, David. One, did you find out on social like we did? And two, what are you going to be doing in the meantime?
Okay, one, did I find out on social media like you guys did? I was told something like that, rumorish. I wasn't 100% sure. And then whenever I was told by my coach that spoke to the promoter, that's when it really sat in me. I was like, whoa, you know, it was a nasty feeling. It was a nasty feeling. I did not like hearing that. I woke up, I got my run in, worked out, you know, I came to the gym, you know, I'm ready to get it, you know, I'm ready to work. Next thing you know, I get told that, I'm just like, my stomach sunk. I was like, whoa. It really upset me, if I'm being honest with you, because I've been putting in crazy work. I've been working hard. I've been just finding different ways to stay motivated, because I want to be great. You know, I want to create my own legacy. I want to put Tulsa on the map. So it really sucked, if I'm just being honest with you. But in the meantime, I'm staying motivated, because I actually got word that I should be fighting August 22nd. I should be fighting August 22nd in Grove, Oklahoma. So that's going to be a really busy fight. I'm super glad that they were able to give me that date, because I'm in tremendous shape right now. I've been sparring really very well, felt really sharp. And like I said, putting in the work, it's like I told people recently, I was like, I don't want to say I put in the work for nothing, because I got to be grateful. I'm in good shape. I feel good. I look good. You know, life is great. But I still got to, you know, find dates to really keep me motivated for these fights, because I train every day. Even when I'm not fighting, I'm still training. Why? Because I love the sport. It's not just about when you have a fight. It's because you love the lifestyles. People are like, how do you eat? How do you do this? I'm like, dude, I don't diet. It's a lifestyle for sure.
So if we want to come see one of your fights, how do we do that?
Come talk to my manager and they will hook you guys up with tickets. So y'all come. Because I think that would be, you guys come out and just come see a little bit of me. Because like I said, the first fight, I tell everybody, I'm like, I got the nerves out the way. Now it's time to show the good stuff. So I'm very excited to fight again and display my skills.
Okay, are there any websites or social media pages your fans need to visit in case they want to purchase tickets too?
So for the fight November 13th, it's going to be posted on like every social media, Facebook, Instagram, on the WFC page. So if you type in WFC, the promotion page should be on there. That's for the fight at the casino. But the one that I'm fighting on August 22nd, that one's more of a local show in Grove, Oklahoma. It's a smaller town, but we're still going to get on that card to keep us busy, keep us motivated. So if they would like to come watch that, you know, they'll just have to come to the venue the day of.
Okay. Speaking of the lifestyle and speaking about living the life, I heard that you got discovered there in the gym for an acting series. So not only do you coach and you train and you support others in their work and in their exercise. I know I saw that on social media too. You've been acting as well. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So actually it was really cool that as she brought that up, it was like a really cool experience. So I was just in the gym one day. I was just in the gym one day, and these guys came into the gym. And one of them had a big old camera. Like, he literally, I was like, whoa, what is this guy doing, you know? So I'm getting ready to spar, and I'm, like, shadow boxing, and this guy comes up to me, and he's just like, hey, man. He's like, what's your name? And I was like, David Perez. He said, where are you from? I'm like, Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was just like, do you want to make some money? yeah, man. And he was just like, cool. And then he gave me like some little lines to like read over, say them on the camera. Next thing you know, he was just like, great. He was just like, can you start? And gave me a date. And the next thing you know, I'm like literally the main character of an episode on a TV series. It was like the coolest thing ever. I really enjoyed it. It was my first time, but they all thought I had acting experience because they said I was just, I guess, in their words, a natural, you know? I really enjoyed it, and it was super cool just being able to see, like, the process of how you do things. You know, all the production teams, all the cuts, and all the, you know, it was just really cool to be a part of it all. So it was, I guess you could say it was, like, something that I never expected to do, but wish I can do it more often because those were really cool experiences.
Yeah. Well, it seems like with you getting all the publicity, that shouldn't be a problem. What was your character name and what was your favorite line? If you can, if you can give us that snippet of info, you might not be able to. I totally understand.
My name in it was Ty Parker. My name was Ty Parker, and I was a boxer actually. So I was a, It's funny. I was actually, when I first started, the first part of the scene is I'm a foster child. I live in a foster home, and I broke into a home, which was my stepdad's home. And I got caught up in 3 a.m, you know, this and that. So a police officer catches me, and it was a crazy scene. I really enjoyed it. But basically, it transitioned into where when I got out of court, my sentence was I had to work at a boxing gym as a janitor. And I was cleaning, you know, being a little curious, seeing the other fighters train. And next thing you know, I'm wanting to train, and I transitioned into a boxer. And on one of the scenes, I think it was right before the end, I actually was in a fight. I was in a fight. I was in there with another boxer. And it was super cool because it ended with me knocking him out.
Nice.
Okay. That's perfect. Now, I know that you've declared professional back in, like, February, right?
Yes.
And so a lot has happened for you in the past year. How did you know? How did you know? Because I've read that you've always had your eye on being a professional boxer. But how did you know that this was the path you wanted to take?
I don't know if, you know, like I was going to say, when I first started boxing, it was a hobby. I liked it. It was cool. You know, I liked the fight. So I really enjoyed just competing. It was just like any other kid that wanted to, you know, do a sport and be competitive. But I want to say about the 3rd/4th year, I got to go to my first national championship. I won state golden gloves, and I went to regionals and beat the best kid at regionals. And then I got to find out that, you know, the United States U.S. Boxing actually pays for your trip and you win to go to nationals. So I got to spend a whole week in Salt Lake City boxing with the best guys in the country. I had to choose that over walking at graduation, but to me, this was more important because I loved what I do, you know, what I did, what I do still. So after I came back from that trip, I started to notice because when I was out there, I got to see the level of opposition there. I was like, you know, normal fights are cool. You know, regionals was great. But nationals, you really get to see the people that can fight. You're not watching people that think they can fight. You're watching the real deal. So when I got out there and got exposed to the whole new levels of opposition that I was out there with, I was like, okay, I got to step it up. This was like a very big realization. Like, I was realizing a lot whenever I came back, and I was like probably 18 years old at the time. And I was like, okay, I made a switch. I started taking boxing more serious. And next thing you know, stuff started to click. I wasn't just that strong, come forward brawler. I was actually getting technical. I was learning how to, you know, slip, how to move. And like, I'm very, I have a very good movement. I use my feet a lot. I have good, great footwork. So when all that stuff started to click, I was like, oh, I can do something with this. So I started taking it more serious. And as I did it, I started going to nationals more and more. And they would put me up with like guys on teaming with say number one guys in the country, stuff like that. And then I would fall short. But every time I'd come back, I'd get better. And I just start that progress you see, it just feeds your hunger. You just want to keep going, keep going, keep going. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, I'm going. I'm winning a fight. Then I lose. I go back. I win a fight. And I win a fight. And then it's just like you just keep progressing because these tournaments are like 5 days long. So the fact that I know that I'm competing with the best guys in the country and winning was when I really knew I wanted to be a professional because – I didn't want to spend my life doing anything other than what I loved, you know?
We're certainly going to be looking at you on August 22nd and November 13th. Yeah. Just to kind of wrap things up a little bit, I just got notification of this exciting promo. Do you know anything about this, Marquis?
I know bits and pieces of it. Fill me in.
Okay. All right. So I'm reading this from an email because literally it just came in not too long ago.
Okay.
It says that we've basically got an opportunity for five winners, not just one, because that could be sadness for somebody else, but five winners to receive a code for a free month of DAZN paid TV, which means you get to watch the August 15th fight and a whole bunch more.
Okay. So that August 15th fight on the Zone, the streaming service, they show fights and everything along the lines. They have just picked up a bare knuckle fighting championships. Major League Wrestling, if you're into wrestling, they do a lot of those shows. Snooker from overseas. They have a lot of fight cards, but the big thing is the fight card in your neck of the woods, David, in Tulsa on August 15th. They're fighting in the streets. Main event now, it was Julio Cesar Martinez. He pulled out because he got hurt. So the main event now is Jessica McCaskill facing the first lady of boxing, Cecilia Bracus, who's been holding that. She's been holding the belts in women's boxing probably about as long as I've been watching it at this point. So that's the main event on the Zone on August 15th. So you're telling me, Tanya, we have a chance to give people five chances to win this, to see the Zone for free for a month?
Yeah, they do. They do. They do. And so Jamie's going to hook us up with a promo real quick. And after that, we'll see if there's anything left. And then after that, David, we want to hear from you, your social media tags on how we can find you. But now to Jamie. Remember to enter at joelewis.com and enter at Night at the Fights, and you'll receive a follow-up email to complete the entry. Winners are going to be selected on August the 12th. All right, and speaking of winners, you're a champion in my eyes, and to everyone we've read about that's that knows anything about you, David, can you tell us what has been the one thing, if you can name just one thing, that you think that you've gained from being a boxer?
Confidence. Big time. I think confidence is the number one thing that I've gained from it. And I think that is a very big thing to gain from it because it's changed my whole aspect and everything that I do, how I do it. And I'm just very grateful to know that this sport has molded my life how it is, so I'm very grateful to boxing for the confidence that I carry in myself every single day.
And you know what, David, we're very thankful to you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, and we wish you all the best. Tell us how we can find you on social media. Your fans want to know.
Okay, well, you guys can find me on Instagram at Team King David. You can also find me on Facebook at David Perez. And you can follow me on Twitter at David Perez 28. So you guys just check me out and hope to keep impressing you guys.
Yes, absolutely. We'll certainly check you out. And Marquise, how can we find you on the Big Fight Weekend?
You can find me, my writings and all my shenanigans with boxing writings at bigfightweekend.com. That's also a Twitter handle as well for that. You can find me personally at Weak Sauce Radio on Twitter. I'm on there all the time. Same thing with Instagram. I need to put more food pictures up there myself, to be honest with you. I'm on there as well. Or Facebook, just Marquise Johns.
There you go. And you'll find me every week here on the Making of Champions Weekly live stream, presented by Joe Louis Bourbon, and the Making of Champions Mac Boxing Series on the CBS Sports Network. Thank you all for joining us. Bye now.